going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back. We are ready to go here. And this is the favorite part of the year for me. I love draft season. And that's what we're in. We've already got done with free agency. Now we're closing in on the draft. It's only a couple weeks away, and man, rumors are flying. So we are going to dive into that a little bit. We're also going to do what we do annually is, well, we just brought it to this part of the company here with Grumblings. Oops. 2022 recap, if you will, for that draft. We're gonna talk about every pick in the first round, give you our thoughts. Did they hit on the pick? Did they miss? You know, so we've seen that happen over through the course of the years. But nonetheless, welcome everybody. Jim, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing better. My voice is a little messed up still, but I'm feeling a lot better. Sound a lot better, I'm sure.
Yeah, you definitely sound a lot better.
Last time on this show, I wasn't even talking. On this one, thank you to Big John again. He's had to fill in for me a few different times, so we really appreciate it there.
Yeah, thanks. And the audience appreciates it, too. They can hear you better as well. Mm-hmm. But if you're just tuning in, if you haven't done so already, could you do us a huge favor? Continue to help support this channel at Grumblings Media on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're there. Share it to all your family and friends. And don't forget to drop in the comment section right now, because we're live right now. We respond to every comment. If you drop in the comments, give your opinions about something we're talking about. If there's a question that you might have, drop it down below. We'll get to it. Let's go, Jimmy.
All right, here we go. 2025 NFL draft rumors, speculation picks of the top five here, too. Again, we've heard a lot change, like you said. Certain people getting invited down to the draft experience here. And then I know some people already kind of, you get to choose. You get invited too, but I'm going to choose to stay home at my own party there or whatever with family and friends too, blah, blah, blah. And I know that, you know, some of it is even, I think, to get away from the opportunity to be on, you know, camera if you happen to slip in the draft too, and the embarrassment of that. But I'm sure even too, to the excitement of the share that with your family though, is it also an excellent, you know, atmospheric thing for people too, and experience. Things have changed in the last couple of months here too. We heard the first couple picks, early on in the draft. You know, we got the Tennessee Titans, the Cleveland Browns, and the Giants, especially all looking. They all need a quarterback, at least. Or some people expect, you know, at least here you would hope with what has transpired with all these teams. And it had been rumored that these guys were kind of all out, and they've had these guys into their locker room and to talk to these guys, Brian Daboll and such, have all talked to Shador, Cam Ward, blah, blah, blah. But now, again, with certain rumors here, we're hearing some of these teams now possibly that they're not going quarterback early on. So that could change the look of this whole draft, Joe. I mean, that could get nutty after this. And then to see some of these – well, basically it's been the two-man, you know, crew with Shador Sanders and Cam Ward here. If some of those guys drop, if they, you know, slide or both or one of them, it's going to be some storylines, I think, for some people in this one.
Well, that's the thing, is that was then, and this is now. All the teams that were picking up front, that were in desperate need of quarterback help in that position, they were going to have to take a quarterback. And it seemed like the first round was where you had to get that guy. But now things have changed, because we've had signings now that we've gone through free agency, and pretty much the teams – besides Tennessee and Cleveland made a slight move with trading for Kenny Pickett. So at least they have some insurance there. They could literally give that guy a legit shot to win the job. Tennessee didn't really do much in terms of that position, but they're going to most likely address that in the upcoming draft, because Cam Ward is going to be the pick at number one overall. There's just no doubt about it. You know, Cam Ward has done his diligence, has gone through all the workouts, has done all the interviews. The whole process is over with now. Like, there's still visits that he's going to take, but we've seen something as of yesterday where Tennessee canceled the visit with Shador Sanders. And you don't cancel an invite unless you really know what you're doing. So knowing that they needed a quarterback, of course, they've canceled. They've seen Shador at his pro day. They've seen Cam Ward. They've done all their homework. And now it's a formality at this point where Tennessee is going to take Cam Ward. I would be absolutely floored if they've done the things that they've done, taken the steps that they have taken, and not said Cam Ward's name on draft day. So I just think that for Tennessee, it's already pretty much a foregone conclusion. It's going to be him. That's going to be one of the quarterbacks that get taken. And for Shador, when you get to Cleveland and so on, those teams have a different way of thinking at this point. The Giants, they went ahead and they signed two free agent quarterbacks to kind of fulfill that need, not being such a pressing one now with the third overall pick. Cleveland, like just said, Kenny Pickett is there. So technically, you don't have to take quarterback. You can still take the best guy and maybe in day two come back and kind of revisit that quarterback position. But, Jim, the rumors are flying, you know, and Cleveland's making moves. They're having visits. And it's interesting because one of the visits is a quarterback out of Alabama by the name of Jalen Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
They have tremendous interest in. And this has been going on for the last couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, I would say, where Cleveland's kind of been really looking into Shador Sanders at 2 overall. But then there's also this tug-of-war effect that Cleveland's going through where it's like, we might entertain Shador. But, man, Travis Hunter, great player, Abdul Carter. Like, how could you turn these guys away? How could you not pick one of them? So I don't know how much Cleveland is in love with Shador because you have to be in love with Shador Sanders in order to take him that high, in my opinion.
Yep.
I don't think he's worth that high of a pick. But it's nonetheless, we talk about Jalen Milroe getting – he's also getting an invite to the NFL draft, Jim, which is very intriguing because not too long ago, everybody and their brother was saying, hey, Milroe looks like he's going to be a day two, maybe even an early day three pick. And now we're sitting here where the NFL has invited Jalen Milroe to show up on round one, day one, be in the green room with all these other high-end prospects. The NFL has made it a point that they don't want the situation that's happened in the past where an athlete was sitting in the green room waiting for his name to be called in the first round. Just it either didn't happen at all, where they just sat there the whole day, or they waited so long that they got picked towards the end of the first round. The NFL does not want that to happen again for these candidates. So I am absolutely surprised that Jalen Milroe has now been invited to the NFL draft on day one. So the NFL, they got to know something. They just got to know something. And I'm going to be surprised if Milroe's name gets called in round one, but it only takes one team. It only takes one team to fall in love with a candidate, and that's their guy. So,
right. I mean, we've seen that happen before in drafts, Joe. We've seen it where
every year,
the guys aren't even expecting anything. They don't even have a camera even set up, you know. Sometimes, at their house where they get called, and you're like, all right, this guy they brought in and stuff. So, but who knows? It's a different draft this year. I know we say this every year, and it's like you're kind of like, man, this draft's going to be crazy. I don't know what's going to go on. And it seems like every year still maxes out the last one because this one, at first, we didn't know. We still don't know. But when draft night comes, you're kind of like, I didn't see that coming. Like, that's what I mean. When everybody does their mock drafts, and then all of a sudden it's blown up by the fourth pick or something like that. But with Cleveland, the thing is with Cleveland is everybody kind of knows that, yes, they blew the whole Deshaun Watson deal. You know, they overpaid for a guy who hasn't panned out. Kenny Pickett, they make the trade to see what happens. You know what I mean? Why not? Let's see what this guy has, you know, to offer. I know he wants to try and fight for a starting job. Let's see what they have. But like you said, maybe it's just the fact that they don't see much of a difference between Shador and some of these other guys, or they feel like they're not in love with them, like you said. You know, you've got Dion barking behind you too as well. You know, you got nobody, you see it in the high school sports or even little kid sports, nobody likes the barking parent behind, you know, the student, you know, or the player, you know, complaining about the coaches or this and that. You're not starting my boy because of this. And that's what kind of Dion mocks to me to an extent too, and saying, oh, he's not playing here, he's not playing there. Already telling people what he's not doing. When, hey, man, you join a team, you join a team. And with the talent that's there at two, like you said, like Cleveland has all the options in the world. But with the rumors flying around now, too, I think it's made the Giants kind of react, too, and look at their situation and how they can change and who they should look at and maybe what direction they might look into as well. Maybe then again, they're not sold on these same guys as well. And with teams that win championships, again, you get a good defense going. You could make some things happen here and win the championship. And with the Cleveland Browns, we're here now. It's Travis Hunter seems like the guy who's going to be, you know, a wide receiver for them. So maybe they're thinking, you know, maybe we grab a quarterback later on in the draft that we still value, can you know, fight for the job. You still have Deshaun Watson there as a veteran too, who, you know, and if he can actually perform to do something, at least you're giving him another weapon, and a weapon that most people feel is the best player in this draft right now in Travis Hunter. And then also we're hearing rumors that they were trying to trade for Kirk Cousins, but they wouldn't absorb any of his money. So maybe they're sticking around to see if the Falcons cut him or not, which he's demanding, which I don't see that happening as well. But I think that opens up things for Cleveland and what they want to do.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed with the whole Kirk Cousins movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of these things where, like, I feel like in this draft in particular, from the information that we're hearing, I feel like a lot of the teams in the first round they can't really zero in other words, on any given team saying, oh, well, they're most likely going either this position or that position. Like,
you're right.
In this particular draft, that's why it's so unique, is the fact that we've seen in past drafts where it's been so deep at any given position, we're like, oh, it's super deep in receiver and this, that, and the other thing, and you can get yourself a high-end wide receiver in day three and all that. That's always going to be kind of like the explanation every year, I feel like, because there's always a ton of talent in the draft. That's why it's the draft, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but this is unique in the fact that there's no key position at quarterback where you can just be like, best quarterback in the last 10 years, you got to take this type of guy. It's kind of devalued that position in a sense for this draft. Even though everyone's assuming, like myself, Cam Ward, number one overall, don't think he's worth the number one overall pick. I think he has the highest potential to become mm-hmm. something great at the next level, but potential doesn't mean that's enough evidence to be like, oh, we're going to go with that. You need to see everything has to happen exactly the way you need it to happen for any given team taking a player.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a potential reason why you're taking a player, it's not the best reason. But sometimes some teams don't have a choice. You know, Tennessee picking number one overall. They're kind of on that teetering on the fence a little bit with Will Levis. Do we stick with this guy another year? Do we move on from him? Do we bring someone in? There's no right or wrong reason how to approach this draft. And for Tennessee, they view that as being the biggest obstacle right now is quarterback.
Yeah,
so
that was
go
a big
get
game
your guy
last year.
Go get your guy at one overall and have Will Levis and Cam Ward compete.
Mm-hmm.
And may the best guy win. Now, Levis will have a little bit of a leg up on him because he's already had some experience at the NFL level. But let them compete that way. And that way you can just say to yourself, you know what? We got two quarterbacks, two first-round picks, high-end first-round picks. They're going to duke it out. May the best quarterback win, And then hopefully that takes us, that transcends us to the next level in our roster development. So, that's for quarterback. And now we talk about, you brought up Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is by far seen across the league as one of the most uncanny superhero type of player where you can't imagine any player that's going to the NFL. It's never been done before what this kid has done in college to play full time, both sides of the ball, and almost all the snaps. Like insane cardio, like his conditioning is through the roof. And not just that, it's not just that aspect of him. It's the fact that he's great at both sides of the ball. It's not like, oh, he's really good one side, but the other side, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can get by. Travis mm-hmm. Hunter is unbelievable. A lot of people have him as their number one wide receiver. A lot of people have him as their number one corner. Depending on what team takes him, you're getting yourself a amazing, super smart, super cerebral type of player. I mean, the guy had like straight A's in college, for God's sakes. The guy's super smart. And then on top of all that, his athleticism, his high-end ball skills, like it's uncanny what this player could do for a franchise. But there's a little bit of a but here. I don't agree with Travis Hunter playing full-time both ways. And the reason why is because Travis Hunter, as great he is as he is as a player, at the next level, it's not a conditioning question. It's not a skills question. It's a cerebral one. At the NFL level, when you have to cram in your brain the whole entire playbook from one side of the ball here, it is such an exorbitant amount of information, and you need to know it like the back of your hand, because there's checks and balances to every snap. A play might change pre-snap, where you're like, oh, you got to remember that play too. Like, you got to remember everything on the fly. And at the next level at the NFL, to do that on both sides of the ball, there's just so much, almost too much for any one person to remember. So I think that I'm all for taking Travis Hunter as early as he goes. Doesn't matter to me. Like, but I view him, if you're going to view him as a wide receiver, he's just going to play wide receiver for you because he has the potential to be one of the greatest because you know his work ethic is real high. And you know he wants to be the best. But he could be one of the greatest receivers in football if he just plays that position. And you could say the same thing on the other side, defensively at corner. If he's able to hone all the skills and improve at all anything that is limiting him at the next level, this dude could be the best corner, could be the best receiver. I don't think he can be the best at both at the same time. Because of that mentality you have to have and the absorbent amount of information you have to know, that to me is the reason why I don't see him playing full-time on both sides. But if you view him as a corner, he can be full-time corner and maybe spot on offense. You can put him in on third downs, give him 20 plays or so every week. That you could do. But he is a phenomenal player, to say the least. And Cleveland, I feel like, is really, really doing their homework. But at the same time, like, man, this dude is so good. We might not be able to pass him up.
Right. And I feel like that's the option that you have to go with, you know, because, again, he works hard. Again, you've got him on either side, which way you want to go with. I know, like you said, he said, oh, you know, there's 24 hours in the day. You have 8 hours of sleep. That gives me 16 hours to do everything. Yeah, all right, you say all that. We get that. You want to impress everybody. You will burn yourself out, and it's going to be tough. But with Cleveland, though, I mean, if I had the choice, though, too, and I know, like, Abdul Carter's great, too, and I can imagine there with, you know, Myles Garrett and whatever and stuff. Boom, that would be nice for that defense, too. But having the advantage with a guy like Travis Hunter, I mean, that could go both ways or whatever, switch up, or even just a star wide receiver again to help that offense, because the defense has been pretty good. They're the ones that haven't really been having an issue, really. You know, it's that offense, you know, sputtering here and there, especially last year. So having a weapon like that, and then also when you come into situational football, there's a jump ball up for whatever, God knows whatever reason, stuff like that, you know, Hail Mary. Put him in on defense if somebody's throwing up the Hail Mary pass on it. He's got the hands, you know what I mean? So you put him up there on hands team or whatever. So, you know, you could just do that every now and then with him. So, I mean, having that in your back pocket right there, I think it's a sure thing. That's probably the biggest sure thing in this draft right now, and I think that's who they should go with. And it's kind of signs looking like that, then, but again, we're not sure. What's up?
And that's the other thing, too, is when you brought up Abdul Carter, yes, would it be amazing for Cleveland fans to sit there on Sundays and watch Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter go after quarterbacks and running backs? Sure. It would be amazing. However, when you look at their offense, like you brought up, not a whole lot in terms of dangerous wide receivers that are on that team now. Cedric Tillman is penciled as a starter right now. Michael Woods, the second, penciled in as a starter now. David Bell has been there but has never been able to crack the lineup. And then Jerry Jeudy, who's probably the more well-known and more apt to be the go-to guy for Cleveland. So when you look at that, the few names there, Jerry Jeudy is the only one that has any potential to strike fear in defense's hearts. That's it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is just eh. So it's almost such a glaring need at wide receiver that it's almost like, dude, best player available. You can argue one way or the other, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, but for Cleveland, I think the pick has to be Travis Hunter. I think you need a guy who can come in, really improve that offense, at least that, you know, air attack. And then, although it would be fun to have Abdul Carter opposite Myles Garrett, that's not the biggest weakness on your roster.
Right, right.
And when you have a chance to draft a player like Travis Hunter, who, one, who knows what Cleveland has in store for him if they do take him? Do they play him? Do they try to play him both sides and see how it works? But, man, receiver to me is like one of the biggest weaknesses. It's something that definitely needs instant improvement. So Travis Hunter to me would be the most logical pick as we sit here right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And like you said, he can help right now, and that'll only help Jerry Jeudy as well too. I mean, you're putting a guy on that opposite side. So, I mean, both of those guys can work out. And we've seen that before with Cleveland before too, under Kevin Stefanski's offense too, where both wide receivers, A1, AB, A2 or whatever, you know, can get 1,000 yards apiece, you know, and still even have that running game going on. So I think that's the best option here for them. All right, let's head to the New York Giants now. Now, my football Giants, this news lately for me again kind of adds options again now. Now that I'm not so sure that these top two teams, you know, we said, Tennessee most likely, again, it's there. It's Cam Ward, so we're just about certain as that. But, again, with the draft, I guess you could never be certain. But that opens up options now. I'm hearing Travis Hunter possibly to the Cleveland Browns, because I was looking at him like, oh, man, you know, talking to other Giants fans, like, we get Travis Hunter right here. This would be great on the opposite side of Malik Nabers. I mean, and that sounds awesome, too. And again, and then sprinkle him in a little bit on defense here and there if we needed to, but we don't have to either, too.
Well,
again, we picked up some guys on secondary.
One thing that I want to mention is that if you're viewing him as a receiver, you're only having him play receiver. Because the reason why you can't do full-time receiver and partial defense is because the defensive players are going to call a play. He might know the play and he'll be okay. But then as soon as they change the play, it's going to be like, well,
he doesn't know that
assignment. And the other point that I want to make too is on defense, you need to have chemistry. You can't just throw, as great as Travis Hunter is and definitely can handle defense, But if you play him full-time offense, switch him over for a few plays here and there at slot corner, you need chemistry. So when you just throw a guy in there once in a while, you can even see it in today's game with your rotations on how much different the defense is or feels or looks on the field. That's why I don't think you can do that with him, just sprinkle him on defense, because you're going to want him to be out there all the time. If you want him on defense, he's going to be out there. He's going to be part of that defense. But to sprinkle him in, I just don't think that's going to work well for him because of the lack of continuity and chemistry that needs to be built between defensive players.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here for the Giants now, too. So, like I was saying, it kind of opens up now. Now I'm thinking Abdul Carter right there. He's right there. Now you put him with Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon's out there, too. And now, you know, you got Burns, too, Brian Burns on the opposite side. I'm like, that would be nice for this, you know, front, you know, line here for the Giants and, you know, build up on defense right there, get that sure thing, the difference maker here, because that's one thing that they kind of lacked, you know, I guess, as of recent here, is that, you know, pass rusher besides would be being our D tackle and Dexter Lawrence here. So if you can have the monsters up here on the front lines disrupting any offense that they face, that could help you with this offense under Russell Wilson now and Malik Nabers and things like that if they happen to struggle a little bit here. But even in the draft, I see the Giants, if they do get Carter here, again, possibly trying to move back in and grab a quarterback or whatever. Now you have other options here if they weren't sold on some of these guys too. And if that is indeed the plan, then again, you see a guy like Shedeur Sanders fall down further. So now the pick after the Giants would be the Patriots, and they've obviously got Drake May, and so they're solid with that. So I don't see them going that. So that's going to be an interesting headline, I think, throughout draft night, if that is the case.
So, I mean, the thing with the Giants, and I've seen this lately, the Giants going for Abdul Carter more than a quarterback, and you understand it, you get it, because of what they did in free agency, now having Russell Wilson, having Jameis Winston. And they also did a lot more on defense in terms of the secondary. Paulson Adebo, the new corner they added, Javon Holland, the new safety they added. So, I think in terms of free agency for the Giants, they hit it out of the park. They nailed at least two spots that solidifies those voids at those positions that now it frees them up even more to not really concentrate so much on defense, but now they can really kind of start to look at their offensive line, upgrade that, upgrade wide receiver, you know, and maybe even take a running back in the middle to late rounds, because even though Tyrone Tracy looks like he's going to be the future for them, the starter, starting quarter or running back, you need depth behind him too. So maybe even someone that can complement him better. So I think with the Abdul Carter conversation, it's interesting to me, and it makes sense. If the Giants do, in fact, go Abdul Carter at 3 overall, phenomenal pick, first of all, because Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are my top two players in this draft. So if you get if you get him at 3, kudos to you. But what that also tells me, too, with the Giants is that they decided that they are going to move on from Thibodeau. They're not going to re-sign him. They're not going to give him a long-term extension. Mm-hmm. And he'll be going to free agency. Bring in Abdul Carter, because they've already paid a lot of money to Brian Burns. And then if you draft Abdul Carter, that now you've got him under a rookie contract for the next 4 years with a fifth-year option, and let's go. Like, let's get after the quarterback. Let's start wreaking havoc in the backfield. I think that would be the best scenario for the Giants. If Abdul Carter's there, to take him, like, don't even really think about it. Like, just run the card in.
Just run the card. You know they're going to tick the clock down the whole time too.
The NFL has these teams do that on purpose. You know that, right? Like, this is a money-driven league, and what pays the bills for the NFL is the fact that they get revenue from the TV, from the commercials, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, string it out as long as you can. And then, you know what, we might be able to throw in a couple commercial ads and everything while you're waiting. And that's how we're going to get paid. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing there. But for the Giants, if it's not Abdul Carter, that's going to be the other conversation that you have to have with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not Abdul Carter, let's just say Abdul Carter, Tennessee takes Abdul Carter. Travis Hunter goes to Cleveland. Now you're sitting there at three with Cam Ward in your lap, you know, or another player. Let's just say Will Campbell, the guard/tackle for LSU, who's seen as mm-hmm. the best to come out. Armon Membu, who's one of my favorites. I have him as my number one tackle/guard. You got all those players, and you got wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you should take a wide receiver that early. I think it's still a little too rich. But, man, I mean, if you had the ability now that, okay, the top two players in the draft already went, do you go – there's also Mason Graham, the D tackle that a lot of people love, the guy who's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or do you say, you know what? We didn't anticipate this happening. Cam Ward is right here, and we pull the trigger, and you get your franchise quarterback.
Right.
Something to think about.
Yeah, and that's really what I think is going to be the case, because like we talk about it all the time, and we've had Roderick David on, which he's going to be on next week, I think, too, right? You take the best available. So, I mean, and being this early up in the picks, though, too, so pretty much, you know, some of the best are right there. Just, you know, so there you go. That's best available. So, like you said, even now, say, all of a sudden Tennessee flips the script on everybody and blows everybody's mind away, and they're like, Abdul Carter, or there you go, Travis Hunter, right? And then, you know, they're like, oh, here, this is Mason or and Will Levis. We're going to get you another weapon, and here it is, a Travis Hunter now. So now you've got him and Treylon Burks, and there you go. And then what does Cleveland do? So Cleveland's got Cam Ward now right there possibly, right? So then maybe they do Cam Ward, or maybe, like you said, they go Travis Hunter.
They
could
take him, yep.
But yeah, exactly. Yep. So then there you go. So now you're looking at the Giants possibly sitting there and potentially having either Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, or whatever, if not there, or say Cam
Travis
Ward and Travis Hunter, and that's your situation you're left with, you know? I mean, that's – that's pretty crazy, you know. So, I mean, I think that's what's going to be interesting here with Tennessee. Are they totally telegraphed right now? And we know it, you know. Is this who they're going with? They're sticking with, and that's what they are. We've seen things change.
The number one overall pick does not care if they show their hand, because they're the number one overall pick.
Number one overall pick.
It doesn't matter. You can't trade above them.
Right, exactly. We've only heard different stories. I think it was with Cleveland too, and when they were all in on Sam Darnold the whole time, and then also like a night before the draft, it was like Baker Mayfield, watch out, it's going to be Baker Mayfield, and then all of a sudden there it was, you know.
So
I mean,
crazy.
Imagine
just
that,
wait
but
until this draft.
Yeah, situations like that is crazy. But say all of a sudden those guys off the board now, all right? So there are three dudes here off the board, and you're there with New England, the New England Patriots, with Mike Vrabel, and he's done wonders here in the off season or early on in the beginning of the new year. And free agency, it's funny too. It's like I think somebody said something to him, like, "Oh, you know, I feel you know, you've won free agency." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm not out. What does that even mean? I'm not. You don't win free agency. That means nothing. You know,
doesn't
what I mean?
Doesn't do anything for you.
Doesn't do anything. I'm not looking to do that. You know." So with the things that they've done already now too, and if they have some of this talent here, that again, that's just an addition on top of things. You know, it's like, oh, if Abdul Carter's there for them, I see him totally grabbing them or whatever.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They've been lacking a wide receiver. So, hey, boom, let's say Travis Hunter if he happens to be there for God some reason, you know.
The funny thing, the funny thing is about this is that if either one of those dudes, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, are there at four, they're mm-hmm. sprinting and tripping over themselves to get the card in.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's a pipe dream, in other words.
Yeah, it's a pipe
for
dream.
New England,
right.
it's a little bit of a pipe dream.
Yeah, it means somebody screwed up. But we'll say those guys are off the board now, Joe. All right, so you're the GM now for the New England Patriots. So what are you taking here? Those three guys off the board. You've had some guys in and out. You've talked to some guys. What do you think is the best fit here for the New England Patriots?
I mean, I think the one thing for the Patriots that they've done well is they had a couple of huge weaknesses in free agency. Before free agency, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive line. That's never been a, you know, equation that you couldn't figure out. They were terrible last year in terms of protection, in terms of run blocking. Absolutely atrocious. They bring in Garrett Bradbury, the center, the veteran center from the Vikings. They bring in Morgan Moses, was with the Jets last year to play right tackle. They have Mike Nwenenu, at right guard. So they're pretty set from center to the right side of the line. But then you look at the left side and you're like, yeesh, left tackle, Vedarian Lowe. Who the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Cole Strange. We all know that name too well from the draft.
Yep.
Those guys to me are not the long-term answer on the offensive line. And then you look at the receivers. That was another big weakness of theirs. Stephon Diggs they brought in recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got Mac Hollins from the Buffalo Bills. And then amongst the other receivers that they have already in place, DeMario Douglas, you know, Kendrick Bourne that they have there now.
Mm-hmm.
So they've tried to do what they could in free agency, plugging holes at those two big positions. And then defensively, they brought in a few other players to fit Mike Vrabel, to fit his scheme that he wants to implement. You know, Harold Landry, pass rusher, Robert Spillane, middle linebacker. They did a lot of work, in other words. Like, you could continue to rattle off names. They filled a lot of holes with a lot of starting caliber players in free agency. So that brings me back to offense, where that left side of the line scares the crap out of me. If I'm Drake May, I'm like, dude, please fix it. Do not let me go into next season and not correct these issues. So at four, with those players we're just going to say are gone, right? I think you have to go offensive line. You drafted Drake May last year. You have him this year. He showed promise. And whenever you've done this much work in terms of filling holes through free agency as much as you can, but you still have a little glaring need at offensive line still. I know they're picking fourth overall. I know it's kind of high, but there is a player that's been tagged to this team since day one of scouting. That's Will Campbell, the LSU tackle. He's been tagged to them from day one. And then kind of like as we started to scout other players, everyone's like, well, maybe it's not Will Campbell. Maybe it's this guy. Maybe it's that guy. Maybe it's a receiver. Maybe they take Tedaro McMillan. Maybe they, you know what I mean, add a weapon or something like that. But here's the thing. Whenever you have your guy, your franchise quarterback, the biggest and most important thing you can do for them is, one, solidify that offensive line. Protect him. Make sure he doesn't get hurt and miss any games. And number two, get him weapons. And I feel like that's going to be the mindset going into this draft, that they're going to concentrate on the offensive side of the ball a lot. But they're also going to find those Vrabel defenders later in the draft. So I think Will Campbell makes a lot of sense to me. And there's going to be people out there like, well, why would you take Will Campbell? He's got short arms. He's got baby arms. What do you think he's going to do? There's been players in the NFL that got drafted, like Donald Penn comes to name, a guy who had really short arms but played tackle his whole career, and it was a long career, a successful career. This is another guy who is a technician. He just has perfect balance. He's got quick feet. He stonewalls defenders. Like, let's not overlook this. If the talent is there, the technique is there, like everything is there, take Will Campbell. Don't think about it. Put him at left tackle. Have him help out your quarterback there. And at the very worst case scenario, you kick him in at guard. If it doesn't work out at tackle, he'll be an all pro at guard too. So
That's right. That's the thing, too. That's a bit, you bring it up right there. The fact that he's a starting caliber here type of player, and like that whole, you can move him around in different spots in that offensive line. But that's you were kind of thinking the same thing I was, though, too, in position wise, too, and what the Patriots should do. Because we've seen that offensive line last year, too, with the hits. Yeah, they got to protect Drake May, absolutely, give him some time to get it to, I guess, Stephon Diggs and stuff like that. So, or else he's going to get frustrated really fast. So, yeah, I mean, this seems like, it, like you said, the names would tag there. So, I mean, this is a clear choice for them, you would think.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, Jim, is the fact that you attack offensive line, you attack wide receiver. You know what I mean? You can get yourself a really nice upgrade in day two or even day three. So it's not like you're like, well, you know, we should take, we'll just say Mason Graham. That's another player that's been tied to them as well. The D tackle, put him alongside there. Christian Barmore had that really bad neck issue and he's still recovering from it. It sounds like he's going to be ready for workouts and whatnot, but. Again, messing with the neck, maybe that's another level of thought that they might have in the war room where they're like, man, you know what? We don't know for sure. There's no guarantee that Barmore is going to come back and be the player he was. Maybe we go ahead and take Mason Graham as insurance too. So wouldn't be a bad pick either way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Okay, Joe, here we go. We're on to now the Jacksonville Jaguars here now, too. What's going on with them, and what do you think? A lot of times, again, I can almost bet every single time on what the Jags, you know, when they go in on their pick, it's defense. It's always defense every time they go in a draft. But situations here with them offensively have been the problems here. So, and not being able to protect Trevor Lawrence, he's getting banged up. He's getting killed out there to where now he's – his – ability is being questioned. You know what I mean? I know you did all last season too, and what he choices he's made here and there. It was turnovers that he's been having after they just even gave him that bigger deal and it gave him the extension. So don't think they go quarterback here. So, I mean, and again, defensive side of the ball, I'm thinking. But what do you expect here now with the Jacksonville Jaguars? I mean, even what you're hearing, if there are any rumors here coming out of Duval.
Well, so for the Jaguars, the Jaguars, they've always been tied to Mason Graham, the D tackle, at 5 overall. And I get it. It's be an upgrade. But here's the thing is like, how many times do you got to go defense in the first round until you get it right? Mm-hmm. There's been tons of times where they've drafted Devin Lloyd in the first round. Mm-hmm. They drafted, Trayvon Walker, the pass rusher. You know, yep. they've drafted, you know, Josh Hines Allen in the first
round. Josh Hines Allen, yep.
The front four has 3 first rounders on it. 3 former first rounders on that team. Mm-hmm. Or they, you know, so to me, it's like, well, yet again, here's another high end D tackle that you could take at 5. And it would make sense if you took them. I get it. You're taking best player available at 5, and it's an upgrade at that D tackle position, hands down. But don't we need to? I mean, don't you just need to continue to help build the offense around Trevor?
Trevor Lawrence. Yep.
Yeah, I said Trevor. That's all he's going to get from me until he doesn't earn his last name until he plays better for me. I'll just say this, like. You did well last year. You drafted in the first round. You got Brian Thomas Jr., who one of my favorite players coming out. And man, did he pan out in a big way his rookie year. But now, don't you think you need to build upon that? You got Parker Washington. That's a nice kind of solid piece in that receiving core. But other than that, you brought in guys like, you know, Gabe Davis was a big fail for them last year. Really didn't do much. Wasn't that productive at all. You bring in Dyomi Brown from Washington, and right now penciled as a starter, but he's an average receiver in the NFL. So my thing is maybe you have to look at that position possibly. Maybe. You know, Matthew Golden is a guy that a lot of people like, guy who ran the fastest 40 as a wide receiver, 4.29, crazy speed, is quick, you know, kind of like a jitterbug on the football field, tough to get your hands on. Maybe that's an option. Maybe it's Tetterell McMillan, if you like size. Like, they just ran Brian Thomas Jr. Tetterell McMillan, I wouldn't be mad at him at 5 overall if they decided to go McMillan and add. Now you could literally have twin towers at wide receiver that are both fast, that both can are playmakers, you know, 50-50 ball catchers. So I wouldn't be mad at it. I don't think it'd be – I think it might be a little higher than where I would feel comfortable taking him. But still, like, if that's your guy and you love him, take him.
So, right. And you do have a need there, I think, that, still, too.
Right. We just talked about Dammy Brown being penciled in as a starter. So, like, yeah, it's an upgrade. Like, and then you mentioned Jim, too, about their offensive line, injury riddled, weren't very good at protecting Trevor. And they brought in two starting caliber, a center and a guard, Robert Hainsey from Tampa Bay, and then Patrick McCarrie from Baltimore, a guy who's going to hold down that right guard spot for them. So, and I mean, you look at 23 draft in the first round, they drafted Anton Harrison to play right tackle. So they've invested in there, and it looks like they have the makings of a solid O-line, especially with those free agent additions. Now you look at maybe even, I'm just saying, maybe running back at 5th overall. Maybe it's Ashton Jeanty. Ashton Jeanty has been seen as one of these blue chip players that is worthy of being picked high, but because everybody's mindset about to take a running back high again, I don't know if that's smart. Jeanty is a generational talent. We use this term loosely, but he is a phenomenal running back. He's a guy that does everything extremely well. He's hard to bring down. He's very physical, fast, quick. You name it, he's there. Pass catcher, blocker, whatever. I don't think it would be crazy if the Jaguars thought about drafting Ashton Jeanty at 5. And you say, well, they got Travis Etienne Jr. Why the hell would they take him? Well, Travis Etienne's been banged up a lot. And when Travis Etienne has come back from injury, he doesn't look the same on the football field. He's not as quick. He doesn't have as much burst as he used to. I kind of wonder if the injuries are catching up to Travis. And then Tank Bigsby, their backup physical running back, guy's a workhorse. He's good, but he's not a featured type of guy. So I wouldn't be surprised if they might go that direction too. If they decide, like, okay, maybe receiver is a little too rich for us right now. We can get that in the second round. But, man, this Jeanty kid is incredible. We add him to this, now we got ourselves a nice three-headed monster in the backfield. And a guy who is going to be our feature back.
Right.
So I think that the conversation, it's going to be a major one, too. That's why I think for the Jaguars, I think the clock is going to tick down to seconds until they make a decision, whether that be a trade or whether it be a pick that they make. There's going to be a battle in the front office. I'll tell you that right now, because you're going to have Mason Graham sitting there, most likely. We don't know, but most likely he'll be sitting there where you could very easily turn the card in. Cool. We get it. Best player available. And it fills a need. Or is there going to be that argument like, hey, we always go first round in the draft for defense. Let's surround Trevor and get him a better weapon, or let's get him a better running back, or you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I don't know, man. I'm tending to start to change my opinion about the Jaguars pick and not say, hey, it's done. It's Mason Graham all day long. And I'm starting to really think about the possibility of a weapon for the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of that is enticing. I could totally see the running back. When you brought the running back situation, I was kind of feeling it too. Because, I mean, I could see that. I could see that. And Jeanty, like you said, and how big would that be too? Because now we're hearing, again, Jeanty and the Raiders and things like that too, and they have the pick right behind them, I think, too. So I don't think the Raiders would be like, Yeah, exactly. So they're like, what? You know, so what do we do there? But again, I don't know, man. I still got this feeling, Mason Graham. You know what I'm saying? Yes, he's got some short arm stuff, but he's super duper strong. Fits the 4-3 nicely, I think, and then a good run stopper too for that defense. I don't know. I still think that they should go defense again. I don't know. I just can't see them going away from that trend for some reason. But if they don't, though, and they go like running back, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's great too. I'm on board with that. But
the other thing too is keep in mind Eric Armstead is still on this team.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
So I mean, does that alleviate any kind of pressure to take Mason Graham? I feel like it does.
Mm-hmm.
Smith, who is a second rounder from last year, who's looking really good for them at D tackle. So if you have Armstead and Smith as your future, doesn't hurt to take. I'm not saying don't take Mason Graham. I'm just saying it might alleviate that pressure to maybe saying, oh, let's go get the D tackle. So I think this is the fun part of draft. This is the fun part as we get closer to it, get to have all these conversations, and these are the same. Similar conversations that front offices are having. And the other interesting little nugget that I learned this week is that the front offices, don't let them tell you any otherwise, they do mock drafts too. Mm-hmm. They go through hours of exercises trying to find out every scenario, whether it be a team trading ahead of them or a pick they didn't see coming, just to prepare, to help prepare for the draft. So, buckle your chin straps. It's going to be a rough one.
Yeah, so there you go. There's the draft order coming up. It's going to be exciting. And, again, I'm sure things are going to change. We're going to see trades, draft night and stuff. So it's going to be very exciting. So tell us what you guys think, too, about all that stuff. But what's that?
Will we see a Tyreek Hill trade?
A Tyreek Hill trade. Yeah, you never know. Some of these things that happen that night just because the situation's right. Some people are even speculating that might happen, you know, say all of a sudden there's a team there up top, say, hey, we'll give you Tyreek Hill. That gives you a good wide receiver right away here. And we'll go in and get that. And we'll give you this too on top of it. So I don't know. We'll see. I know that the Eagles have been out there and, you know, they're expected. Adam Schefter says they're expected to make a trade, early on. So let's see what they happen to do. They always shake it up on draft night too as well. So that's going to be exciting. So there you go. There's the top five teams. I had to talk about that, too, just right away. You know, for the other others, you know, there's other been speculation stuff as well. But, you know, the shakeup is always in the front there, what's going on and where it might lie. And we have time to talk about that, especially when we do our mock draft next week with Roger David in the house again with us here. And we're going to do a live mock draft. So that's going to be super exciting. All right, Joe. So what we do every year now, we kind of go over this. This will be our first time for the Blind Side Blitz, though. We do that at the Football on the No Show. But
that's right.
So basically, yeah, you know, everybody says it takes about 3 years to kind of see what you really have. When you do, get that draft, let them progress, see what they do, you know, and how they fit into the team. And we'll reevaluate in 3 years and stuff. So that's what we kind of do here with us. We kind of do a reevaluation here and see where these players that were drafted here in the first round. We're going to just do a first round only, and see what we think. You know, a lot of times it's boom, bust, blah, blah, blah. I think for Joe and I think we'll just kind of do a hit or miss, you know, or kind of thing. It's kind of better because, again, some of these guys, I think they're not exactly the boom. They're not exactly a bust, but I think they're pretty good or something like that, too. So it's always kind of a mix of things. So here's the list here from 2022. Let's start right off here. We just talked about this guy here, Trayvon Walker, Joe. Picks number one overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars, a defender. What do you think here now for the Jags, Joe?
Yeah, so Trayvon Walker has been doing pretty good for himself lately because the Jaguars just exercised his fifth-year option, so they're going to keep him for his fifth year under that rookie deal. And Trayvon Walker has had moments of being a superstar, but then he's also hasn't done a lot. So I think, like, for your first overall pick, like, I don't say they missed on him. I just think that he was drafted in the wrong position. I think that the Jaguars should have traded down a little bit and then maybe get Walker. But we know at this time in 2022, everybody was saying, Trayvon Walker, number one player. You got to take him. So I think they hit on him. I mean, honestly, I think the Jaguars did hit on him because they got their guy. The guy, he's a solid player. He has and still has. I think he has more potential still to be great. He's good. He's really good, but he's just not great. And I feel like that's what kind of hinders this pick for me a little bit. But they still hit on it nonetheless. Very productive player. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, it's like that's the thing, too. It's like because with the number one pick, that's what kind of like always, you know, throws the cover over you. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
He's averaging 10.5 sacks, I think, right about now, too, every single season except for his rookie year. But he's played every single week, you know, so, I mean, he's staying healthy and things like that, and he's not bad. He's got 10.5 sacks, like you said, a couple of interceptions. Just when you look at that number one overall pick, you're like, give me more, which is kind of like where now if we look at Aiden Hutchinson, again, his name was up there a lot of time during that draft, too, as well. We weren't sure if it was going to be Trayvon Walker or Aiden Hutchinson. It was going to be either way. So right there, number two, Aiden Hutchinson goes to the Detroit Lions. And Lions fans rejoice again, too. Michigan guy, so it's through and through Detroit all the way and things. And he, again, has obviously been a hit, too, what he's been able to do, take that team and kind of emulate what it is to be a Lion, too, on top of it. And they really missed him in the playoffs here last year, too, but really saw him start to come on, too, and be that difference maker for them and always be in the backfield, too, as well. So, Trayvon Walker, I like him. And I think the same thing as well with you, Joe. I mean, sometimes that number one pick kind of shadows it a little bit. So we're good there. And Aiden Hutchinson, for me, obviously, I think is a hit for the Detroit Lions.
Right on. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson, to me, should have been the number one overall pick, in my opinion. I think that that wouldn't have bothered me at all. I feel like that he was worthy of it. And you can see, you know, how much of an impact he brings to that Detroit Lions defense. And when he wasn't in the lineup, you just knew it. Like, there was no more big splash plays. There was no more pressure being built up. They did their best without him, but nonetheless, I mean, he was that special of a player and still is. And he looks great, by the way, in his recovery this year. He's running around the football field now. He's ready to go. He can't wait to start the season. So, to me, this is a huge hit on this pick. Definitely think that this is well worth it and great player.
All right, Joe. Third overall pick, Derek Stingley Jr. And I remember this pick, too, because like right around draft time, we were hearing rumors that this was going to be the pick here, too. And a lot of people – at least I remember during speculation, didn't expect him to be picked this high. And Lovie Smith was the coach at the time, and he fell in love with this guy and goes and picks Derek Stingley Jr., and it kind of threw people in shock, like, oh, he did with this one. But what do you think about here with Derek Stingley Jr. and the Texans here?
I love Derek Stingley Jr., and I loved him on draft day. I thought that – there was a lot of conversation before the draft got here that, well, you know, he's got some red flags off the field and, you know, he had some injuries at LSU and is he going to ever return to the player that he once was? And, but, I mean, they did their due diligence on him. You know, Derek Stingley Jr. has been one of the best corners in the league. Like, honestly, like, I think that this pick, there was a lot of skepticism on him and not people that weren't really sure what was going to happen with Derek. But he's been an amazing player for them. It's only been 3 years with the Texans, and he's done, besides his rookie campaign where he missed like half the season and didn't really contribute that much. But, man, has this guy been a physical force? He's been a guy that's knocked down passes left and right. And the future is definitely bright with Derek Stingley and the Texans. So I think that Houston just hit the nail on the head and got themselves a blue chip player, and he'll be in Houston for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming off his first Pro Bowl year here, and again, 5 interceptions the last 2 seasons, and also that includes 2 picks in the postseason too as well. So it's one thing too to also perform here, and also a forced fumble in the last year's playoffs too. So coming into his own, like you said, injury prone early on, but has really stepped up.
I actually was hoping that he would slide in the first round because I wanted my team to take him.
Isn't that always the case, Joe? Yeah. Isn't that always the case? All right, there we go. Sauce Gardner here at number 4 for the Jets, Joe.
Yeah. Talk about applesauce here. this guy with the Jets, I tell you, he had a bad year this year, and there's no way to sugarcoat it. Like, that's what happened. He just wasn't himself. And I kind of wonder about the dynamic in the locker room last year with Aaron Rodgers, with the quick change on offense, like bringing all these different offensive players in on the roster. I wonder how that might have affected, especially Rodgers, because we've heard stories about Aaron Rodgers saying, oh, he's kind of toxic in the locker room, or he's like a know-it-all, and he would fit on the show, you know, on our other show, you know, being a know-it-all and all that. But I wonder about the locker room presence that was Rodgers in with the New York Jets. And even though Sauce Gardner plays defense, it's not offense, I just wonder how that might have, you know, distracted him, or, you know, to where he wasn't as focused as he would normally be week to week. I just don't know. That it just seemed like he seemed like a completely different player last year.
Yeah.
And you didn't recognize him. So for me,
right,
I think as far as the pick goes, I mean, Sauce Gardner, he's still seen as one of the better corners in the league. Like, he had a bad year yet last year. Yes. Okay, whatever. Let's see what he does this year. You know, and he was amazing when they first drafted him. His rookie year, his sophomore year, played really well. His rookie year or something didn't allow any touchdowns or something like that. So the guy is electric. The guy is a shutdown corner. Yes, he had a bad year, but I still think they hit on this pick. A lot of people would have been super happy to get him if the Jets didn't take him. So I think they hit on this one.
Yeah, I think so too. And like what you're mentioning, I think is the same thing I felt. And what it is when your offense is that terrible and the defense is always relied upon to try and keep them in the games, you saw frustration. Because you were always put in a bad spot, and you saw it when a goal line where there was touchdowns scored and things like that. You saw the penalties afterwards. How many times did he also get called for defensive holding or pass interference this year? A bunch. Was it exactly all of his fault? I don't think so. But
I think you might.
You know, but I think he was even getting a little more aggressive because of frustration, though, too.
Yeah, I think you might have a really good point there. Because maybe frustration mounted up, and now he's playing a lot more aggressive. Like, he's still an aggressive corner, but he was just playing at a different level of aggressiveness and just doing too much, like trying to make a big play happen all the time or doing whatever was needed to make sure that receiver didn't catch the ball, and that kind of cost him in penalties. So trying to make up for the lack of offense that was happening, you know, I could definitely see that being a trigger for him and that defense. Like, because everyone kind of blamed the defense, right, all year long.
Yeah.
Oh, the defense isn't as good. The defense isn't as good. No. What are you talking about? This defense is really good. And the fact that you pointed the blame at the defense and not the offense is blasphemy to me. Like, the offense couldn't sustain drives. They were 3-and-out a lot of times. And that just put your defense in a bad spot, put them out on the football field for the whole game. They were probably gassed and tired by the fourth quarter, and you're not going to perform well when you're tired. So as much blame as the defense got, I think the offense just didn't get nowhere near enough, and Rodgers didn't get enough. Rodgers deserved some blame too. Even though he had some, I still think he deserved more of a blame. because you were the answer for this team. You were supposed to come in, wake the offense up, score some points, and everybody would have been happy on Sundays. But it just didn't happen.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you what the problem was there with that. It was mind-boggling.
I think we just did.
So, all right. So, yeah, I agree with you, too. Sauce Gardner is a hit. I mean, dude, the dude's great. Now it comes to the Giants, pick number 5, Kayvon Thibodeau. I did not like this pick. I remember this draft vividly.
Yeah.
I was at Juniors with a couple of buddies, and they're Giants fans, and I did not want this again because I was questioning work ethic, things like that, and I know he had, like, physical talent and stuff, but I just wasn't sold on it, you know what I mean? And I just – We've done this before, you know, as Giants fans. We've been there before, like kind of going on these guys. And, you know, there was a big game, you know, talk about him, blah, blah, blah. I didn't think he was going to be that game changer. And so far with the Giants, I don't think he really has been. I've been kind of waiting. You know, like, hey, what's he going to do? What's to do? You saw a little glimpse this year. He got a bit better. But, again, injured, though, too, on top of it. But, again, when you're picked that high, even top 5, and you're that guy, you got to jump off the page for me. And he hasn't. He still has been kind of mediocre. So for me, again, right. It's a flop again on the Giants end. So I think this is a miss completely. I didn't want it in the first place. I got it, and here we go. I was right again. What do you think, Joe?
like the finish there, Jim.
Yes. Just listen to me, New York, please.
So unfortunately, they haven't called you about that GM position.
No. Nope.
No.
They haven't.
But, yeah, I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau in the draft process coming out of Oregon, I was kind of lukewarm on him. I wasn't sure. First of all, I wasn't sure how he was going to fit in the NFL because at Oregon they asked him, he was like more of a stand-up linebacker rushing off the edge. Even though he had speed, he had size, he had all that. So he looked the part,
mm-hmm.
You know, the tape showed you that he, you know, could be the part, but the production mm-hmm. in the NFL hasn't been the greatest. I mean, his rookie campaign, 4 sacks. So it's like, okay, he had 4 sacks. It's his rookie campaign. He's kind of just getting into it. His sophomore year is where he really kind of blew up. He had 11.5 sacks.
Yep.
And
yep.
Now you're starting to see what you were hoping to get with this pick.
Right.
And then last year, kind of fell off the face of the earth. They only had 5.5 sacks and yep. a guy that only played in 12 games.
Yep.
So looking back these last 3 years, his rookie year, he missed some time, not significant, but he missed some time there. And only had 4 sacks, fine. 17, played all 17 games his sophomore year, had a great year. Mm-hmm. And then this mm-hmm. past year, again, injured. So. You got to wonder with the future of Kayvon. And we talked about it when we talked about the top 5 picks. About
yep.
how if the Giants have the luxury of possibly drafting Abdul Carter, I think you take it and smile. And that means Thibodeau's on his way out. And it's a smart decision, and you go with the better player. Clearly, Abdul Carter is going to be a much better player than Thibodeau. He's going to be the guy that the Giants hoped they were getting when they drafted Thibodeau. So I think that for that reason and the fact that he's only had one, like, great year in 3 years, to me, that high of a pick, I think it's a little bit of a miss for me, for sure.
All right. We're in agreement
need
there.
Need more production.
Yep, exactly. All right, so next, Ikem Ekwonu. I remember that, too, as well, here for the the Carolina Panthers here too. I couldn't believe that too when he was right there. I was like, because I was even thinking Giants do that even, you know. I mean, I'm cool with that if you decide to do that. I mean, boom, that's what I was hoping right there. I'm like, please do this. You didn't do it. I'm like, oh. What are those moments again, Joe? How many times did you see me do this on the draft? It's like my the draft pose at this point. But all right, for the Panthers though, I mean, I like it, you know, for them. But what do you think?
So for Ekem, like, I actually, like, during the draft process when I was scouting,
mm-hmm.
I had him as my number one tackle. Mm-hmm. Had him as my number one offensive lineman. So I was very high on him, but sadly, I might have overlooked something. Like, Akeem has been, his first couple of years hasn't been as stellar as you'd like him to be for being that kind of a high offensive line pick. But I feel like he's just starting to get it in his third year. Stayed healthy this year. You're starting to notice him starting to get things down, catching up to the speed of the game, all of those little nuances that offensive linemen have to go through. And for me, this is difficult because I want to say that they hit on him, but after seeing just 1 year of like being a solid offensive lineman for them and not being injured all the time, because I think that's the real reason why Akeem never, you know, hit the ground running and was right. a solid lineman from day one. And, you know, we're talking all good things about him. So I think for where they picked him, I was expecting a instant impact, and I didn't get that right away. So for being this high of a pick, I can't say, okay, it's a great one. So for me, I think it's a little bit of a miss for me, unfortunately. Yep. I have to see more production out of Akeem to give him that gold stamp and say, all right, that pick was worth it. So maybe that's going to happen this year. You know, if we see some more, you know, he's got to stay healthy again. He's got to continue to stay healthy and continue to become a better player. And I think he'll be fine. But
right.
For me, this is a little bit of a miss just because of where he was selected.
Right. I hear you there, too. And the fact, I mean, what adds to it is, I mean, he's been called for false start a bunch of times, too. So that's getting penalties on the offensive side. But he did start to clean it up a little bit last year, too. So, like you said, maybe he's starting to turn it around just later than you would expect or hope for, you know, an early pick. So maybe, again, for some of these guys like him, too, as well, it's just kind of eh. And maybe he just needed a few extra years here. We'll see what the future holds for some of these guys here. So,
like I still think he's a good player.
Yeah.
I was expecting a bigger impact for him and where he was selected.
Right. When you're up that high too, again, and you know, you're the first, you know, tackle right there picked. You know, you're kind of got that on you. You know what I mean?
Right.
We looked at the Giants when he was like one of the first tackles Andrew Thomas picked, and I'm like, oh no, you know. And Tristan Wirfs went like right after. I was like, yeah, I wanted Wirfs, you know. But Thomas panned out, you know what I mean? Holy shit, you know what I mean? But you just don't know sometimes because you're just like, because again, you try and do your own homework, but then you also listen to what some of the other analysts, McShays and things like that and stuff that are in there that are talking. So you kind of hear some of that, and, you know, his name wasn't brought up, a whole bunch of different things, like a work in progress. And you never know until they get to this level, though, Joe. And that brings up, it's a perfect example, Evan Neal. Again, a guy who, again, Alabama guy, you know, I brought him in there because the Giants are right back in there, too, into the top 10. So I'm like, oh, look at this. They can get back, you know, another a pick here. They're going to get Evan Neal then, sure. And then they grab him. I'm like, okay, this should be fine. Because, again, we know his pedigree, what he went through, you know, under Nick Saban, things like that. You're like, oh, he's got to be pro-style offense. Let's do this. And, again, another miss. Big disappointment ever since he's been in the NFL. He seems like he can't block out of a wet paper bag. He's just getting bull rushed by everybody, it seems like. And then now, not only that, lately, it's just the injuries, too, on top of it all. So the lack of play time, but then also just getting beat by literally everybody. It's just really, for me, it's just a wicked miss.
A lot of people, when the Giants drafted Evan Neal, a lot of people didn't envision him playing tackle. A lot of people had Evan Neal kind of basically placed at guard because they thought, and what I noticed is that he's very heavy-legged. He's very slow. His slow footwork, you know, as he's definitely athletic. I mean, the guy is enormous and can move. It's just when it came to faster pass rushers, would definitely struggle mightily against them because he just can't get out in front of them. So I definitely thought that going into the NFL, guard was going to be the best spot for him. But then when the Giants took him as high as they did, it's like, oh, they're not taking a guard here. They're thinking that he can play tackle at the next level. And sadly mistaken, you know, the Giants definitely regret that pick. I mean, having two first-round picks kind of high in this draft, they should have came away with two fucking superstars.
Two starters, yeah.
And instead, they came away with a guy who's up and down and injured, and then another guy who's injured and not very good at tackle. So, I don't know. Maybe they try Evan Neal at some point, kick him in at right guard, and see if he can hold it down at guard, because he's not good at tackle.
He's so not there. Yeah. Yeah. I agree too as well. All right. So here we go. We've got, next up is Drake London here in the Atlanta Falcons. I remember that's pick two as well right there. You know, Atlanta, we weren't sure what was going to go on. They go wide receiver here in Drake London. Yeah. Joe, what do you think now with that pick so far out of Drake London?
I think Drake London's good. I wasn't super high on him. Like, I had him in my top five, I believe, if I remember correctly. But I didn't have him as one of the best, if not the best receiver coming out. So, Drake London, tremendous size, has decent speed for his size, is a very physical type of wide receiver. So, I think for Atlanta, at eight, taking Drake London, I would say whenever you take a wide receiver kind of in the top 10, they need to be dynamic. They need to be electrifying. They need to be big-time playmakers. And for Drake London, he's a really good player, but this is a little bit of a miss for me. This is not a guy who any given week teams are like, well, we better double-team Drake because he can either take us deep, he can beat us down short, intermediate. I just don't see that from him. He's a really good player. Don't get me wrong. It's not that. It's just for me at pick eight, it's a little bit of a miss for me here. I think that Atlanta maybe even, I don't know if they even had any kind of talks to trade down and maybe still get Drake London or whatnot. But, I don't know. I don't think he is the player that they were hoping for.
Yeah, I agree as well. Again, he just when you pick this high too here for a wide receiver, he's got to be that guy. He's got to be your number one true. And again, I understand they haven't found a great quarterback to throw to him to because again
now they got Michael Penix.
Well, last year was his first time he went over 1,000 yards. You know, previous years it was 800, 900. This year he had 1,200 yards receiving, so that's good. But like you said, that with the eye test, nobody's afraid of him. Nobody's like, oh, Drake London, we better watch out for him or we got to spy him or whatever, put two on him.
He's really good. Right. I just want to let the audience know, like, we're not saying that he sucks.
Right.
He's a really good player. We just think that at eighth overall, you need to get yourself a dynamite, like, player that every – like a CD Lamb. You know, like a Jamar Chase. That's what we're trying to say. Like, he's not that level.
Yep. All right, so next let's move on to Charles Cross here for the Seattle Seahawks. What do you think, Joe?
So Charles Cross, like, I love the pick. Ninth overall. I thought Charles Cross might have been the pick for Carolina at six. But he ends up going to Seattle at nine, and I think, you know, he's really good. I love the pick. I think this is a hit for them. The only thing that I'll say as a negative is you want to see Charles Cross be healthier. When he's playing, he's really good for Seattle. But when he's not, it sucks. They just don't have protection without him. So Charles Cross got to stay healthier, but I love the pick. I mean, you're picking at the bottom of the top 10, and you got yourselves honestly, probably one of the better offensive linemen in this draft.
All right, next up, I don't know why it's cut off at the end. Or you can't see it because of the ticker. There you go. The ticker. Now we can see Garrett Wilson out there. Garrett Wilson.
This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is it. Garrett Wilson. If Atlanta took Garrett Wilson at eight, think of the difference that would be. Like, That to me is a playmaker. That is an elite receiver. That's the guy they should have chose. And that's what we're talking about. Garrett Wilson, to me, this is a home run for the Jets at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not think that if Atlanta was going to go receiver, I thought it was going to either be Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave.
Right.
And it was neither. So
they
went with the big physical guy who's not as dynamic. Dude, Garrett Wilson would have been the best pick for them. So kudos to the Jets for recognizing greatness. There you go. You hit on it.
Yeah, it just was things for them again. Couldn't really get him the ball out. We got to see him really put on his talents this season, too, because they've struggled with quarterback situations, too, for them. And that's the only thing with the Jets, too, and same thing with the Falcons we're always dealing with. Can't get a good quarterback to throw to these guys, but I agree with you as well. I thought Garrett Wilson was going to be the pick there, if anything, and I was surprised. Again, I was shocked when Drake London's name came out here first out of that one. I was like, what? Like, really? I'm like, that's who they go with? I'm like, huh. And again, that those types of picks there kind of threw the draft in a different situation. I think that one kind of changed things. So then Jets there with Garrett Wilson. Yeah, and again, this year I think you just really see him unlock. And like now let's see what they can do with some Justin Fields here, Garrett Wilson. I'm liking what he can do this season here. I think it's going to be his best yet. So I like the pick, too, as well. Chris Olave here, number 11 with the Saints. He's been that guy for them, too, moving on with the Saints here, especially now they got Derek Carr there. You know, hopefully he can step it up here. But last year, you know, injured. You know, so it sucks because to see what might have happened here last year. But first couple seasons, over 1,000 yards, 1,123. The second season, though, lights out. So had an injured, you know, season last year, only playing half the games, but I think this is a hit here for the Saints. It's exactly what they needed. They just, you know, again, have to have good, solid quarterback play here, and there we go.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Olave, great pick. I love the pick. I mean, Garrett Wilson and Olave were like my top two players at wide receiver that I thought would have went earlier. But, I mean, I think Drake London should have fell to the Saints, and maybe that would have been the pick for them. But, hey, they went out. They got Olave. Great speedster, guy that takes the top off the roof of a defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like what the Saints have offensively. You just like to see a little bit more health on both sides of the ball. And Derek Carr, the funny thing about Derek Carr last year, as much as he was, he missed like pretty much half the year. Mm-hmm. Whenever he started, the Saints won. Mm-hmm. Whenever he wasn't in the starting lineup, they lost every game. So,
yeah,
if that doesn't tell you that they have a good quarterback, nothing will.
Oh, yeah. We definitely got to see, you know, a few different things here last season here.
That's the other thing, too,
with the Saints.
Is that they talk about Carr being injured on that team, but the whole receiving core, the starting receiving core,
exactly,
went missing due to injury. So it's like,
yep.
And you had the offensive line issues, like being injured, and the defense wasn't playing up to par because the offense couldn't hold their own. So, yeah, it was a debacle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I've never seen a team to go from so high early on and explosive to so bottom barrel. Like, wow. And it's just because that shows you what injuries can do. And it messes up your momentum, too. Because that's what I mean. They were destroying teams early on, and people were like, wow, who the hell are these guys?
Pulling them out.
And then, just again, they end up getting their coach fired. You know,
everybody
Rizzi
fired.
Was terrible, too. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Everybody get the hell out of here. But, yeah, again, a few different things were answered. Derek Carr, I think, was better for them. I think they'd be fools kind of let him go. And Spencer Rattler is not the guy, again, either. No, I just I don't
Won't
think
be this
so
year. Derek Carr is definitely quarterback this year.
Yep. So, Jameson Williams now, too. Again, injured early on in his career, too. So, this year, you got to really kind of see him now. Finally, kind of like a full season, just about, almost, you know, but as much as you could, though. And again, 1,000-yard wide receiver, some of the spectacular plays that he had with Amon-Ra St. Brown and the other talent that you have on this team. Yeah. So he's not expected to be the guys, because that's the thing, though, too, is they brought him in. They're like, oh, this is a great speedster, blah, blah. And You never got to see him. Never was on the field. Blah, blah, blah. So you're like, oh, are we even going to get anything out of this guy? To where you and I had even talked about, like, are we going to come to 2025 and have to evaluate Jameson Williams and be like, he's a bust or something just because we don't know. He's never out there. So for him, for me, it's debatable because he's just injury prone. He's an injured nonstop. You know, he's just not on the field. And a gambling issue. You know, on top of that, the fines for the gambling. You know what I mean? And you kind of see a little bit with a little bit of – you see it, his attitude. He's got a little bit of something to him. It's a negative, I'd say, on his end. But he's a spectacular athlete. You know, so for me, it's tough to grade a Jameson Williams there at this point still. What do you think?
Jameson Williams, to me, is an electrifying player. That I don't think he's reached his full potential yet. Because, like you mentioned, the injuries, the amount of time that this guy's missed, and that's kind of what's delayed the development of
Jameson Williams, yeah.
Can't talk right now.
Jameson, I know.
I think that with this pick, it's a miss for me. And the reason why is, like, exactly what Jim was saying is, the best ability is availability, and it doesn't matter how great of a player you are. If you can't be available for your team week in and week out and help them win games, then what good are you?
You're not, like, helping your team.
So I think Jameson Williams is a great person. He's a great player. He's made some mistakes, and he owns it and has told – he's had some great face-to-face talks with Dan Campbell, and they have a great relationship. So I think he can be a great player. I think he can become worthy of this pick. I just think at the current status right now, maybe this year changes everything in the views of him. But for right now, he just missed too much time for me.
All right, here we go. Next, pick number 13, Jordan Davis here. Yep, for the Eagles.
Big, huge D-tackle. Huge D-tackle. Guy's a mountain of a man. And has solidified that starting D-tackle spot for the Eagles. This is a great pick. Jordan Davis is actually, in this particular draft, was being brought up as maybe even a top 10 pick. You know, and there were some teams that were like, oh, you know, it could happen. And you could see it. Because you can't teach size. And the guy is just absolutely enormous. So, given the athletic ability that he had, I think he ran a sub-5 flat 40. It's ridiculous for a guy his size. He's like 340 pounds.
He is 4.7840.
He's just gigantic. And for him to move like that was incredible. So 13th overall, the Eagles get him. And this is kind of Howie Roseman just doing what he does in every draft. He doesn't make something happen. As much as people might believe, it's like, oh, he just does this, does that, trades up, trades down. Not always. Sometimes he just sits there at his current pick and lets the draft fall to him, and he takes the best player available and doesn't even think twice about it. And that's what makes Howie Roseman great, that he doesn't overthink picks. He doesn't overdo it. So this is yet another piece of evidence for Howie Roseman being a great GM that he is. Jordan Davis, huge hit for me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree too. Again, it's the perfect type of fit player here for that defense and what they did, and that's what, you know, Howie Roseman does. You know, so I agree with you there too, and where it laid out here for them. So let's move on here to Kyle Hamilton here for the Baltimore Ravens. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton, phenomenal safety out of Notre Dame. This guy had a lot of criticism too, coming out of the draft. Some people like, oh, he's not that fast. Can he go sideline to sideline? You know, there was some scrutiny about it, but this guy is a football player. Like, he might not be the fastest dude on the field, and he's definitely got size. That's what he does have. But he might not be the fastest guy, the most athletic, but man. This guy just makes plays for the Baltimore Ravens. He just he's in the box. He's deep. He's, you know, coverage-wise, playing the run, you name it. This guy is a part of this defense, and he is a phenomenal player for them. So I think this was a huge hit for Baltimore. I think they hit the nail on the head here.
Yeah, I agree too. Again, I think he kind of, you look at that guy on that defense now, he's not the Ray Lewis type of guy or Suggs type of guy, but I think when you look at Kyle Hamilton, I think he is like embodies the Baltimore Ravens defense, I think, at this point. I think
just
for
a
him,
physical football
not
just player.
Second, yeah, right. And again, all around everywhere, forcing fumbles, interceptions, sacks, like you said, coming off the edge, rushing the quarterback, mm-hmm. too, on top of it. So all-around player, back-to-back Pro Bowls, AP players. So I agree, too, as well. It's a big-time hit for the Baltimore Ravens. They constantly do it, too, as well. Another one of those teams that just hits all the time. All right, Kenyon Green here for the Houston Texans, Joe, at pick number 15.
Huge disappointment. Let's just start off saying that. 15th overall, Kenyon Green, a guy who I thought was going to be an electric guard for them, and he was early on. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like he got traded and is on a different team already. So mm-hmm. in his short career, he just, I don't know what happened to him. Like, his rookie year looked really good, then he got injured, and I don't know, maybe something affected him after his injury, but Kenyon Green just never mounted up to being like the – I definitely thought that for sure this guy was going to be a Pro Bowl type of guard, and he just hasn't been. So I think that's a miss for me.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. And, again, it's always never a good sign if all of a sudden you're not even on your team, that the team that drafted you anymore by this point. It's never really a good sign. All right, so moving on to Jahan Dotson now here by the Washington Commanders. And a guy that kind of seemed like, for me, that he could start to be something. Like, you always saw a flash, like, oh, look at this guy, Dotson. Okay, he's kind of doing something. Yeah. But, again, it's never really panned out here, you know, for the Commanders.
Yeah, that pick to me was kind of one of the biggest reaches of the first round for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have Jahan Dotson that high on my list. And mm-hmm. when I saw him get picked in the first round, I'm like, wait a second. Is that the same guy that I'm thinking of?
There's
no way.
Somebody else.
There's no way. There's got to be another Jahan Dotson. For that pick, that high, again, I mean, it's kind of like middle of the pack in the first round.
Yeah.
But I didn't see what Washington was hoping they found. Explosive mm-hmm. wide receiver, and he just never has mounted up to be that productive type of player for them. He's another guy that hasn't been the healthiest either, and
mm-hmm.
for me, it's just a miss. Like, it's one of those things where we tried, we failed, we're moving on.
Right. It was something that, like, that's one of those things that just only explains that they had this guy in here, or they talked to him, and that just, they just liked him. That was their guy. It doesn't matter what these other people were or whatever, and you heard.
Yeah.
They liked him. You know what I mean? And that's where it is. And sometimes it works for you, sometimes it don't. You know?
Right.
You know
what else works for us, Jim?
What's that?
If people that are tuning in, if they go over to Grumblings Media on YouTube
and
hit that subscribe button for us, continue to help grow this channel, support this channel. While you're there, hit the thumbs up on the likes. Share it to all your family and friends that love football talk. And don't forget, you know, when we go live like this, guys, you need to comment down below so then we can read your comment off, whether it be a question, comment, whatever. Share in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, you know.
Yeah.
Grumblings Media. Hey, by the way, little nugget, pat ourselves on the back here for Grumblings Media. We have gotten
over 8,000 now?
8,000 subscribers.
Yeah,
we are still climbing. It hasn't been too long ago where it was 5,000.
Oh, I know.
And now all of a sudden we're eclipsing 8,000. We want you mm-hmm. guys to jump on board and ride the wave with us.
Right. I think even when we joined on with Grumblings Media, and that was just only a season ago.
Yeah,
Not even a full year ago. I want to say that was only like 2,000, right? Somewhere around there, I want to say. I think it was nowhere
like
near 4,000 or something.
Like 1,000.
It was just getting
whatever.
There. Yeah, yeah. So we're growing, baby, and you guys can grow with us. We're like a big family. We want to be like the big Italian family. That's right. Everybody come in, you know.
Hey, forget about it.
There's only one way out, though. Right. All right, so here we go. Zion Johnson is the next pick here for the Tennessee, or for the Chargers. Sorry, the Los Angeles Chargers here. Zion Johnson here, Joe. What do you think?
Little jealous. I'm a little jealous of the Chargers right now. Zion Johnson, really good guard, has definitely locked down that position from day one and has done it at a high level. So at 17, this is a huge hit for me. This is a team that has done a phenomenal job building through the draft and reconstructing that offensive line of theirs. So they killed it. They killed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's move on to Treylon Burks here in the Tennessee Titans. There's the Titans. And again, I think we spoke about this too during your draft. You didn't happen to make it, but we were texting. And again, I thought this was a reach here for Treylon Burks here for the Titans. I didn't like the pick at all, especially for a team there. You're looking at them. This was the draft that they traded away AJ Brown. And then they brought in Treylon Burks. And I was like, well, that's not going to work. Like, so I don't think that's right. So, Joe, I think they whiffed completely on this one here, Joe. So what do you think?
Yeah, they completely missed, and it was another bad pick. So here's the thing. As we talk about bad drafting teams on the show, and this is the epitome of it. This is a team that drafted poorly, took Treylon Burks because they thought they obviously liked him at the time. But this guy, even when healthy, doesn't do much.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
almost invisible in games. Like, yeah, he might catch a couple first downs, but it's like the guy's not a go-to receiver. And it took him in the first round. The guy's just not that impactful. I mean, so,
yeah.
Terrible pick. And I hope Tennessee doesn't screw up this draft because they're picking one overall. There's no excuses. It's not like you're picking in the middle of the draft, say, oh, well, we didn't get our guy, so we took this guy. No, you're picking one overall. You better nail it.
You better, right? And that's the thing. Like, I remember that again for this draft is that the news happened that night. The trade went down that night, and it blew up the whole place. Everybody was going like,
dude,
what just happened? So you trade away your number one receiver, so you are expected to draft a number one receiver, and you've got a receiver. You know what I mean?
Five. Wide receiver five.
At this point, yes, terrible. So definitely whiffed on that one. So I'm going
to
agree with
that. And I'll say that trade to me was the worst trade Tennessee ever did.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it blew my mind. And I understand there was some friction, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the front office and AJ Brown and whatnot and the coaching staff. And that's why it kind of jettisoned out of Tennessee.
Yep.
But man, for them to come over with Treylon Burks as the prize out of
that
is terrible.
Right, and again, hey, if there's friction, hey, you can make it work. There was friction in Phillies, you know.
Can we talk about Myles Garrett about how he didn't want to sign an extension, and all of a sudden, a couple days later, he signs an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be that bad.
yep, absolutely. All right, so, Joe, that leads us to 19. We're almost done here with this draft, the 2022 draft. We're going over here. Hit or miss, play along, you guys. Trevor Penning, let us know in the comments, too, if you guys listen to this on an audio podcast, too, later is on. Let us know in the comments, too. Post it up there. Trevor Penning here. We talked about this here with the Saints. Pretty good here, but very physical type of lineman. So we weren't sure how that was going to translate to the NFL. What do you think with Trevor Penning so far in his career?
Well, when it comes to physicality, Trevor Penning, it fits great for the NFL because you got to be super physical. You got to be a nasty offensive lineman. That's what teams want. They don't want a passive offensive lineman, a guy that doesn't like to get in the physicality department. Mm-hmm. And Trevor Penning was definitely not that. The guy finished through the whistle, not to the whistle, if you know what I mean.
That's the thing.
Trevor Penning was, I thought, was going to be a great lineman for them coming out of East Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not. So ended up not becoming the guy that they anticipated him being to replace, hopefully, Ryan Remchek at one point. And the guy's been lacking. The guy just isn't getting it. He's stiff. He's a little slower than they anticipated, and it showed up, you know, on the football field. Just struggled against speed rushers and just hasn't been the same. Now, up to this point, he's played better, so there's hope for him.
Mm-hmm.
But with this pick, you know, they were expecting to get themselves, again, another solid offensive lineman, a guy that they can plug and play, and it didn't happen. So it's a miss for me.
Right, right. And the thing is, too, here, like you said, even early on trying to get onto the field, first of all, mm-hmm. But then again, quickly, once he started to play 100% of the snaps, for me, I was looking at, like you said, physicality and things like that. Was he going to get called for holding, things like that? And those are some of the penalties that started to kind of, not ridiculous, but, you know, start to come up on here. And just if he could limit that, and that's what I was worried about with him, maybe something can happen. So I don't think we've seen enough of him. Like you said, he started to come around a little bit. We'll see. But right now, it didn't really work out for the Saints so far. All right, next. We've got Kenny Pickett in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, I remember this one here, Joe, again, talking about this for show prep and for the prep for the draft. I was really into Kenny Pickett and what he was able to do for Pitt and stuff like that, for the college level stuff. But again, you were worried about where he would go if he's drafted. You know, it's got to be indoors, going to that, because he's got the small hands, always wears the gloves. What's going to happen in bad weather? Goes to Pittsburgh. And it didn't really work out for him, you know, again, and he's been through now two different teams here. Now he's a Super Bowl champion. Imagine that. but here he is trying to rejuvenate his career with the Cleveland Browns if he can. So Kenny Pickett, again, it's out on him. So right now you've just got to say that it's a wicked miss for Pittsburgh, because they're still looking for their quarterback right now. They're still waiting on the wings of Aaron Rodgers, maybe call me or something, or who knows what's going on. But, it's a big whiffer for the Pitts.
That's got to be something a little bit to be looking into, is the fact that Aaron Rodgers went out to Pittsburgh and then started throwing with DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that, you know, why would you even be bothering to work out or throw the ball if that's not where you're going?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Something tells me that this thing is just being more of a dramatic reveal when Rodgers finally puts ink to paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to Pittsburgh. I think it's safe to say, like, why else would you be out there working out with DK Metcalf, throwing the ball around? And I think it's just a matter of waiting till the contract gets approved. You know what I mean? To where he can just show up and sign it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It seems a little weird. But going to Kenny Pickett, it's a miss easily, because he's not even on the team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple of stops now, and now recently being traded to Cleveland. So maybe he'll get a real legit shot in Cleveland to compete against Deshaun Watson. And here's the other thing about Deshaun Watson, is he's not even healthy enough to play yet. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I don't even know if he'll be ready to go week one at this stage. And if that's the case, maybe it will be Kenny Pickett versus whoever else they draft. Because you can't tell me that Cleveland's out of the quarterback market now because they traded for Kenny Pickett. And they're going to eventually move on from Watson. So probably day two, maybe you think about them drafting a quarterback. Maybe Cleveland is one of those teams that trade back into the first round to take their quarterback.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. But I think for Kenny Pickett, unfortunately, he hasn't had I don't want to say he hasn't had a legit shot, but he just hasn't proven it, I'll say, enough. Pittsburgh moved on from him. The Eagles, he was just a backup anyway.
Right.
I think the guy has talent. As much as I wasn't high on him because of varying, you know, traits that I saw, that I just was like, I just don't know if he. But I'll say this. He's proven me wrong to a point so far. I said I'll never be a starter. He technically was a starter in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So he proved me wrong in that aspect, but let's see if he can actually be a franchise quarterback.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree as well. All right, next up, we're moving right along here. The 21st pick, the Kansas City Chiefs selected Trent McDuffie. I think this is a hit, great too, hit with them. He's been a keystone in that defense here, just a shutdown corner for them. Big-time player. So you can't say anything, you know, enough about this guy here and what the Kansas City Chiefs even did in this draft here this year.
Yeah, he is the best nickel corner in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He just is. Now, here's the interesting thing, is Trent McDuffie has the ability to play outside, but he doesn't play it all the time outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's the best nickel corner, but at 21 overall for a pretty much a guy that just plays inside a lot, I thought that he would eventually kick out to outside, if anything, and I don't think Kansas City views him in that aspect. So, but he's one of the best corners. Like, there's no doubt about it. So, as much as I want to hate on this pick, I think they did a great job. I think this is a great selection for them at 21, and he is. I feel like he's the glue to that secondary. He's definitely a guy that a lot of players look up to, and definitely a hit for me.
All right, next up we've got Quay Walker here for the Green Bay Packers, Joe, linebacker. I think he's
Quay
pretty
Walker,
good.
Very good. Very good player. I think he's been electric for them. He's been a good pass rusher. He's been a solid piece to kind of help run the defense, keep everybody in the right alignment. Quay Walker, I think it's a huge hit for me. And this is a guy that was coming out of Georgia that in this class they had a ton of players that were most likely getting drafted. So for him to stand out enough to be picked in the first round, like Quay Walker did his thing. So Green Bay did a good job.
Yeah, and the thing is for me, it's like he's not that standout Pro Bowler type of player, but he's consistent and is good, consistent tackler too. Always involved in getting to the ball and making plays there on that end. And that's what I think I like about Quay Walker here.
Yeah, he's great sideline to sideline, phenomenal tackler, smart, instinctive, a guy that comes down to stop the run. Like he's definitely fits perfectly with that defensive scheme.
Yep. All right, next up, the Buffalo Bills select Kair Elam.
Miss.
And that's a wicked miss. And we get to really see that on the showcase in the playoffs this year.
He's not on the team anymore. He got traded to the Cowboys, who pick right after this.
Yes, that's right. And again, that's what I mean.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible
he was
in the
terrible.
Playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody saw it like, oh my God, this was your first round pick. Like, he's not even developed. He's just not good.
Yeah. I mean, they brought it up in this playoffs this season the fact that he was drafted in 2022, hasn't been able to make the starting lineup. He had to play because of the injuries for the Buffalo Bills, and he stunk. And then, like you said, now he doesn't play anymore. Plays for the Cowboys, so I'm excited. You stink. Go play for the Cowboys. I love it.
Start him.
You know, it's always, yes, let's go. Start him.
Especially against the Giants.
Jerry Jones, get cheap. You know, don't sign these other players here to extensions. Just start Elam. All right, so going on to the Cowboys here, the 24th overall pick, Tyler Smith here for the Cowboys. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah,
offensive
lineman
here.
Yeah, I mean, decent offensive lineman.
Not.
I think he's good. I think for where they took him, it makes sense. And he is a starter for them. He's a solid starter for them. Pretty decent player. Tends to get handsy sometimes. Will get those holding calls once in a while. But still, they didn't have much. And they started the offensive line, you know, turning over that offensive line with Tyler Smith. But they got a hell of a lot more work to do this year.
Yep. Yep, and again,
so it's a hit for me.
Coming off his best season so far. Again, back to back Pro Bowls, but early on, like you said, getting in trouble with holding, things like that. So,
wait a second, he made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
How?
I don't. He was the sixth runner-up, Joe. You know how it goes. You know how it goes? It's just bing, 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 bing. So now all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're left. Hey, you want to play? Okay, come on. Come on, son. Come on in. Yeah, you're a Pro Bowler now. Yay.
That's right.
You know, you know how it goes. Oh, my goodness. All right, Joe. All right, so I say we're almost done with this one. Tyler Linderbaum here for the Baltimore Ravens again. I like the pick when, you know, this happened here here for that night. What do you think, Joe?
All right, great pick. Great pick. I mean, the value was tremendous here at 25 overall, the first round. You're getting towards the bottom of the first round. You get yourself a phenomenal offensive lineman. I mean, good for them. Baltimore, this is what kind of Baltimore does, too. They seem to always get. Maybe they're not even the first round, but like somehow they have a great way of finding offensive linemen, and they end up becoming solid starters or great starters for them. So,
yep,
Baltimore did it again. They get two picks in this first round and land and hit on both of them.
Right, exactly, and that's the thing, Joe. That's the thing I was saying. Some of these franchises, they just hit every single time in the draft, and this is what Baltimore does. They do it well in the draft, and crab cakes and football. There you go. So here we go. That's what Maryland does. Jermaine Johnson, the second here for the Jets. What do you got, Joe?
It's a miss for me right now. He has potential. He hasn't really developed enough. He's missed a lot of time, and that's really it. I mean, same case as Jameson Williams is. Missed a lot of time, hasn't developed enough because of that missed time, and everybody was expecting Jermaine Johnson to take a huge leap this year, and it didn't happen. So I think the jury is still out on Jermaine Johnson. I'm not going to categorize him as a bust just yet, but it's definitely a miss for me at this point.
Yeah, and that's the thing is kept him out because you weren't sure because you saw progression. Like from the first season to the next, you know, 7.5 sacks in his sophomore year. Here we go. Maybe he can get it going. Right. And then injuries. So then again, just kind of shuts it short. So like you said, jury's still out. So it's a big question mark. So we'll just say miss at this point, I guess, or just meh.
Yeah.
Okay. We should do it. Make this be win, lose, or draw. All right. So Devin Lloyd, you talked about the Jacksonville Jaguars here too. Again, and go ahead, they draft Devin Lloyd here and the defensive players here in this draft. What do you think here for Devin Lloyd?
Devin Lloyd, very solid pick, a guy who in this draft was seen as the number one linebacker coming out. Guy who didn't have top end speed, but very instinctive. A guy who's always in the right spot. Phenomenal tackler, and rushes the quarterback well as well. Devin Lloyd, I love the pick. I was actually hoping that he'd get into the second round because, you know, there was a team starts with an R that should have used him. But I just say this is a solid pick, a good pick, and they hit on this one.
All right, next here we've got Devontae Wyatt here for the Green Bay Packers, interior defensive lineman. And again, he's got averaging 5 sacks about a season here for the Packers. What do you think though about Devontae Wyatt here for these guys?
I think he's still developing and still growing, honestly. I think Devontae Wyatt's got a really good future with Green Bay, or if Green Bay doesn't end up re-signing him when it comes that time, maybe he goes somewhere else and blows up. But Devontae Wyatt fits their defensive scheme really well. We mentioned earlier with Quay Walker about how well he did as, you know, also. And Wyatt is starting to gain ground. I think this year is kind of where he started to wake up even more. Not necessarily on the stat sheet all the time, but I'll tell you right now, he definitely impacts plays. So I think this is another solid pick. Another good pick for Green Bay at 28. I like it. It's a hit.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's tough for him is this because he doesn't start all the time. So they sprinkle him in here and there. So, you know, he's only getting about 50% of the snaps. So, I mean, if you look at his production stat-wise, like you said, it doesn't jump off the page in here or there. But They flex him in and out. So, again, he could be still progressing here. So, and later on, you know, these later on picks, you know, you're hoping to do something here with these guys. And now that brings us to the Patriots.
Oh, here we go.
This one blew everybody's mind again. This was another surprise one. Like, oh, Patriots, who are they doing? And Cole Strange comes on. You know, a lot of people are like, what? Who's this? What's Belichick doing now, too? What's he looking at? Where's he getting this from? Cole Strange.
When they announced this
the
picture,
name.
Like, Cole Strange. Like, what? Why is he in the first round? What? Mm-hmm. You could have had this guy in the middle of the draft.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. At the time, Patriots were in love with this guy, and, yeah, they took him. This was the surprise of the first round. Like, there was reaches in the first round, but this was the absolute surprise type of pick. And I can't wait to see what the surprise pick's going to be in this upcoming draft. But Cole Strange was definitely that. In my eyes, he's a starter, but he's kind of just an average starter. So, to me, this when you draft in the first round, no matter where you're picking, you got to get yourself a bona fide, like, really good player. Like, you got to get yourself a really good player, and Cole Strange is not that, in my opinion. So this is a miss for me for New England.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you too as well. Again, he's managed to be the starter, which I was surprised again, but again,
because
not really
there's no one there. That's why.
Page, but yes. That's why we're talking to them potentially about getting offensive linemen, you know, for them this year possibly. So and maybe they will. All right, next here, the pick number 30 for the Kansas City Chiefs, George Karlaftis. I like this pick here, too. Again, I think the Chiefs got it right in this draft. Again, another good one for them, and that's why even where they are even at this point. Karlaftis, you know, just kind of that next up player. You know, we know you got your Chris Jones, you've got these guys, and they've had guys shuffle in and shuffle out. Karlaftis has stepped up and stepped into that role, too, to be that next guy, too, as well. So making plays all around the field. I like George Karlaftis. I think this is a hit.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of George Karlaftis. I call him the Greek god because this dude is amazing. I think he does everything extremely well. He's powerful. He's got speed, well-balanced athlete. Like, this dude, he gets credit, but he doesn't get enough credit, I feel like, with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, everybody looks at Chris Jones and for obvious reasons, but George Karlaftis is just, he's amazing. Great, really good player. To get him at the bottom of the first round like this and hit on both their picks in the first round, by the way, definitely helped the Chiefs kind of turn things around and become the juggernaut the last few years.
Yep. All right, so next up, here we go, getting towards the end. We've got the Cincinnati Bengals picking Daxton Hill, Joe. Daxton Hill, safety, corner now. You know, what do you think about Daxton Hill here in the
I love the – I love the pick at the time. I thought it fit well with Cincinnati. I like him a lot. I think he's a solid player. But I want to see more impact plays this year. And that means ball-hawking skills. I want to see him start to make interceptions. I want to see, instead of just kind of being around and making the tackle, I want to see him take another step. But at 31 overall, still a very good player, really solid player. So, like, to me, this is a hit for Cincinnati.
Yeah, and it's tough because, again, season cut short for him last season. It is first time here for them, at least starting as a corner for them. So they switched positions for him here. And it looked like he might have started to do something. But, again, it was a shortened season. So I think the jury's kind of out still. Especially if they're going to move him around in different positions.
You can't keep moving guys around.
Yeah.
They never really get set or develop in that position. It just doesn't make sense. And there's teams that have done this in the past. You know, Nnamdi Asamoah got moved around from corner to safety, corner to safety, until they finally just kept him at corner, and then he was all pro. So maybe Cincinnati needs to look into that and say, you know what, let's pick one position, leave him there, and then he can grow from there.
All right, and finally here, the 32nd pick here was by the Minnesota Vikings and Lewis Cine here, Joe. Lewis Cine, the pick by the Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings in a trade to get that 32nd pick. Mm-hmm. Louis Cine is a very, very good safety. For the Vikings to get him at 32 is like, doesn't make any sense. Like, he should have been picked earlier in the first round. Just recently, he ended up going testing free agency, signed with another team. Minnesota doesn't have him anymore. I think he's a great player. And, you know, it's a huge hit. I mean, for 32 overall to get yourself a really good safety. And I feel like the safety position is definitely undervalued in terms of how aggressive teams go for that position. And this dude is amazing. So good for the team that traded him for him. I don't remember off the top of my head who ended up getting him, but signing him.
Mm-hmm.
But great player nonetheless. So this is a huge hit at the end of the first round. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, and again, just like I feel like, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, I think the Vikings, the reason why they get where they are now too is because they've been having the ability to draft well too.
Yeah, pretty good.
You know what I mean? Pretty much make some moves, jump in and get some guys. I just think they know what they're doing in the GM spot and making plays.
100%.
Yeah, building it, you know, from within. And some teams don't. They just swing and miss. They try. Not lack of trying. They try and just don't hit.
Hey, everybody's trying every year. Everybody's trying.
Right. Yeah. All right. So there you go, Joe. The 2022 draft, you know, hit or miss. We
did the review.
We did it just about in everything in 2 hours. So there you go, Joe. Tell everybody one more time at the end of this video, if you guys haven't subscribed to Grumblings Media yet, what the hell are you guys doing? You know, join in with everybody else. Come on. Everybody else is doing it. But, Joe, tell them what they got to do.
It's very simple. Jim, he had it going, and I thought he was going to take it.
My voice is still going. So.
He's like, wait a second. I shouldn't be talking this
way. Yeah.
Really appreciate everybody. The Blitz Nation has been awesome. The support's been great. Grumblings Media, we are starting to soar. We are eclipsing 8,000 subscribers and still climbing. Every single week, that number keeps jumping. We want you guys to be a part of it. Jump on board. Become part of the Blitz Nation. Head over to Grumblings Media. Hit that subscribe button for us. The thumbs up while you're there. Share it to all your family and friends. And we go live every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you dial in right here. Be part of the conversation. Drop in the comments down below because we're going to react to them. We're going to talk about them. That's what this is all about, being interactive, giving you guys also a voice. You know, so even though, like, it's two schmucks talking about football, we want you guys to be part of this thing and kind of help us grow and become part of the nation.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see you guys in the next one.